Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey friends, welcome to another edition of the Tennis and Meagles podcast. This is your host, Vunch, and joining me today is my fellow host of the Ego and Carlos Tennis Show. As the Tennis and Bagels listeners will all know, his name is Damien. We're both pretty excited to break down the men's draw. But Damien, how are you doing? Just 2 days left and then Wimbledon's just around the corner. So,
yeah, probably going to do a few of these draw previews, you know, here and there. But this is actually the first one. So this is where I'm still excited to talk about it. You know, in 2 days, I'm going to be like repeating the same thoughts all over again. Right now, I'm still very excited. I still haven't, like, I looked through the draw mostly, but I guess I haven't, you know, spent that much time thinking about it. So yeah, it's going to be pretty fresh. It's going to be exciting. It's one of the best weeks of the year for sure. The first one, especially of Wimbledon. So I am super pumped for it.
Yeah, same here. And I love that it was streamed live on YouTube. And, you know, they used to do it earlier on radio. And, you know, that was a good option if you're driving or you're in the car and you can just kind of listen as they're breaking it down live. But I like that it's now live streamed. And, well, obviously, I love that, you know, the qualifying is done. And then we don't have to, you know, think about, okay, who are the qualifiers? Where will they be placed? Same with the lucky losers. So that's great that we have all of that. And we have 2 days to, like, really digest it and, think very hard about how it's going to unfold and predict and all that. So I love doing that. But anyway, let's just dive right deep into this. We'll look at the men's draw here. And I'm actually going to share my screen so the people on YouTube can follow along as well. And we shall get this party started. As you can see here is the Wimbledon draw. And we'll start with the first we'll start with the top half, the first section. We'll start with Carlos Alcaraz's section. What do you think about overall big picture sort of draw for Carlos, and who are some names here that you can see that could, you know, maybe be, you have some upsets or first round matches you're looking for, popcorn matches, what stands out?
Pretty nice. I mean, are we talking about the whole quarter or just the first section?
I guess let's focus on the first section.
The first section. I mean, I think it's pretty good for Alcaraz here. Like, Demidor, of course, he played him in the final at Queens. Doesn't seem like, you know, anything extraordinary can happen in this matchup. If they get to face each other again. Zverev on grass has never been that excellent. When it comes to such, I mean, threats to Alcaraz here, Shardy is just a straight-up free win probably at this point. You can kind of see that this comeback from the Frenchman has not been maybe ultra serious, especially when it comes to singles. And yeah, Rinderknecht, of course, pushed Alcaraz in Queens, but ever since we've actually seen, I mean, just such a complete and drastic improvement in Alcaraz's grass court movement, in Alcaraz's grass court game. So I don't think this is going to be this close again if they play. It looks likely that they will play. I mean, I've never seen Alexander Miller play on grass, I think, and it doesn't really seem like he would be that great on it. I know people will be looking at like Nicolas Jarry. Big serve can always be dangerous on grass, right? But at the same time, his ground game, I think, is definitely better suited to clay. He's definitely more consistent, just more steady when he has that higher bounce, when he has more time on the ball. Maybe Hugo Humbert, we could be looking at him, but honestly, I was just really disappointed with this loss that he had recently to Peniston in Queens. Even last year, right, when he was in such, mentally, he was a wreck. He was a wreck also game-wise, and then he still goes to Wimbledon and reaches the third round. So I think it's very possible that he does it. You know, he's definitely in much better form right now. But I just thought he was going to be, you know, such a force throughout the grass season, and he kind of wasn't. Other guys who are probably going to be dangerous, like Watanuki. If he plays Alcaraz, I would love to see that matchup. Then again, you know, for someone like Watanuki to actually get to the fourth round with such an inconsistent playstyle as well, you know, but that could be, I think, the popcorn matchup of the sections. Zverev, Watanuki in the second round, do they actually meet? It looks kind of likely. However, Watanuki, Gessler, that's like a 50-50. And of course, Berrettini, but yeah, just what we've seen recently, I don't think he's a factor here. So overall, I would say this is a very nice section for Alcaraz. I would be pretty shocked if he didn't make it to the quarters.
Yeah, I thought largely the same. I also like that he sort of has Shardy before Rinderdash, because I think play-style-wise, I think there's some similarities there in the serve and forehand, and just, you know, both like to come forward, use the slice. They like to basically charge the net on anything short, and Shardy is nowhere near the level that he was at pre these injuries that you see. That's why he has a protected ranking, but nonetheless, I think that experience from Queens, and the grass will still be a little bit slippery, so maybe Alcaraz might struggle a little bit with his footing just the first couple of days when the grass is still green. But I think, you know, the way he handled it at Queens and how he was able to come out on top, and this being best of five only helps him. So I definitely, you know, see him getting to the third round actually quite comfortably. Maybe he drops a set in the first couple of rounds, maybe one or two, but I'm not really seeing much upset potential. But then, you know, and then I think Hugo Humbert is the interesting one. Humbert or Yari, I wonder who's going to really come out of that section. Same with Kugler. I guess you can't really sleep on him too, because he got to the fourth round last year as well.
Just before Wimbledon, he won Ilkli, right?
Yeah. And then this Zverev section is fascinating too, because I mean, I think even Hustler beat Zverev at Davis Cup. That was when he was just coming back from the injury, and that was you know, I think just after the Australian Open. So obviously Zverev is in much better form now. But yeah, I don't know if Zverev's game works very well on the grass, just because I don't think he likes the low bounce very much. And even though he's made a couple of Halle finals and he's starting to play a little bit better since Rome, I don't know if he's like ready to actually get to the fourth round and challenge Alcaraz. And there's also David Noor, who I actually rate pretty highly on grass. And I think he's, you know, borderline top 10 player on grass for sure. So it's somewhere in the 10 to 12 range if I was doing a grass rankings only, I would say. But
little high for me. I was just really disappointed last year, right, when he lost to Garin from Tussauds to Lovap. Like, that felt like such a chance, but I can understand it. Like, top 15-ish is fine for me as well. So
yeah, like in a sense, you'd be surprised if he got past the quarters.
Yeah, and definitely
for sure, right? And you'd be like, okay, fourth round is like where he would get, I would think.
No,
you're definitely right about last year. That was so disappointing that he didn't get to play Kyrgios in the quarters. He was two sets to love up. He had a couple of match points as well. It seemed like, yeah, kind of a wasted chance. But anyways, and then also the question mark also in the section is Berrettini. Of course, he played Sonego when he just came back and he didn't look ready at all. So do you potentially see anything different this time around?
I mean, I just don't think he's going to be a factor long term. Like, he might beat Sonego. I don't know how he's going to look. Who knows, right? No one really does, except for him and his team, I guess. But I just don't think he's going to be a factor if he has to play Sonego, Demino, or let's say Zverev gets through, or maybe even Watanuki or Hisler. Yeah, I just don't think he's even getting to the forefront here.
Yeah. Also, I just realized it would be kind of interesting if Humbert actually got to the third round. And I think because Shardy is coaching him, right? Is that still the thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like over the past year or so, I think.
So yeah, Alcaraz could play both coach and pupil within the first three rounds. But, you know, that's for Humbert still has to get to the third round for that to happen. But I think overall, I think we both have Alcaraz coming through. So I guess we can move to the second section in the top half, which of course, the name that stands out here is obviously Tiafoe, because he came off of that title. He's now a top 10 player, number 10 seed. What do you think about his section here with Dimitrov, and well, also Popirin, who we can't underestimate, and also you know he being wooed even in the first round is not super easy.
I think it's insanely tough. Honestly, like I definitely thought that Tiafoe was going to be, I don't know if a dark horse at Wimbledon, but like someone who can easily make the fourth round quarters. right now, looking at this section, it's going to be really tough. Like, if you have to play Wu, then I think even Striker would be maybe more dangerous than Popperin. And Dimitrov, to get to the fourth round, that's a nightmare. So, yeah, I'm not so confident at all anymore in Tiafoe getting far. But that's just mostly because he has such a tough section. And especially these four players that we have here. Tiafoe, Wu, Striker, Popperin. All of them, you know, insanely high ceilings. All of them on the day can be basically unplayable. Striker had that Grand Slam debut, of course, at Roland Garros, which was kind of poor against Tommy Paul. Like, he didn't really threaten at all. On grass, he should be better. And, like, his qualifying ground was just absolute class. No moments of doubt whatsoever, which is something that Striker kind of has gotten us used to. So I think he's going to be really dangerous here as well. And, yeah, Dimitrov probably going to get to the third round playing Shimabukuro and then Ivashko Korya. So I think all of these guys really can trouble Tiafoe. And yeah, it's just one of these cases where the draw actually changes my perception of the player and his chances a lot here.
Yeah, it's a tougher draw than he probably would have wanted. That being said, the bottom section, obviously, we have another rematch between Fokina and Feast. They played each other in the first round of Roland Garros as well. But mainly, I guess the name here is Holger Rune. On grass, obviously, you know, he picked up three decentish wins in Queens and then went out to Divinor in the semis. But do you think, you know, what do you think about his grass chances, particularly best of five, so early in his career? Because I don't doubt that in the next year or two, he'll certainly be more of a factor, but I don't know if he's quite ready this year around, especially. And I still have some question marks about a few areas of his game that, you know, mostly his game is very well-rounded, and we've seen how he can play so many different play styles just within the same match. But I wonder if on grass, he's maybe not found the right balance yet between defense and offense. And same with his forehand as well, because that loopy high forehand that he was hitting down the line to, set up the backhand and just construct points, it's a little bit different on grass, where you have to have more of an offensive mindset. And he certainly has that. Like, when he played indoors, for example, last year, he beefed up the serve big time. And I've seen him just crush balls in practice when he's just hitting, and he posts those videos on Twitter and stuff like that. But I wonder if when the actual matches, if we're going to see a lot more of those ups and downs, it may not actually be, he may not just be ready mentally and physically to do it this time.
Maybe grass actually helps, you know, the matches are going to be less physical. They are going to be faster paced. Maybe that's
simplifies for things him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, you know, he can play it all. He really is just so complete. Definitely some of the things that I've enjoyed the most watching him over the years was, yeah, how he added that attacking element to it compared to the junior times. And as he said, the serve was just incredible. And in the indoor season, it's probably going to be great here as well. Do I think that, you know, in order for him to win at Wimbledon, there's going to be like a few more years or at least, you know, a few more good events? Yes. But, you know, he's absolutely capable of going deep here. However, it's not an easy section either. Either one of Davidovich, Fokina, Fils, Zhizhen Zhang, even, you know, he had a pretty decent run in Eastbourne. They can be dangerous. And I actually think he's going to be
worse.
Oh, and mine is Arnaldi. I actually think he's going to be in a lot of trouble against Arnaldi in the second round. Arnaldi, you know, he's also done so well to adapt to the grass very quickly. He has that amazing serve as well, which, you know, maybe wasn't really talked about in the clay season, but it's going to make a big appearance in on the grass and on the hard courts, I think. I still don't think that, he's at his best on clay. However, like, it really raises his ceiling to have these sort of weapons on grass or, yeah, indoors. And, yeah, I just think Arnaldi would be really, really tough for Rune here. I don't know if he's going to beat him, you know, but that's a good early test, I think. So this section, like, in general, you know, from Tiafoe to Rune, I think it's extremely tough. And, very, very, very hard to predict who actually comes out of this.
Interesting. I look forward to seeing Arnaldi on glass. Grass, because I haven't had the chance in qualies to watch him really yet. I've seen him a lot on clay, but
he survived a very tough one against Shang in the opening round. Like, that was, it was some, two of the best players in the qualifying, I think, meeting in the opening round, which was crazy. And after that, he was just, you know, business mode, nothing really that could have happened to him. But also the other like the other parts of that section weren't that strong, but certainly like an amazing match in the opening round against Chang.
And yeah, I guess who's your pick to come out of this section if you just had to predict?
Let's maybe like go for something a little off the board. Let's say Dimitrov, just because he has pretty easy couple of rounds, and you know, I just like my chances with this. But yeah, it could be like 5-6 players at least here, I think.
Interesting. I don't hate the pick. I mean, but yeah, I don't know how I feel about Dimitrov crossing the third round hurdle again. I mean, I know it's the bigger matches have been sort of a bit of a mental roadblock for him, particularly against top 10 players. And I guess most of his losses actually this year haven't been bad. It's been mostly, you know, Alcaraz twice, Djokovic a couple of times. You know, like basically all top 10 guys like Tsitsipas, and actually beat Fritz also in Geneva. But I think because his first two rounds are much kinder than Tiafoe, I don't hate it. Certainly could pull it off. And also, like we were saying with Bruna and his section with Fokina, I would love to see Davidovic Fokina get to the third round actually and face Bruna, because I think he also has a pretty high ceiling. But I just don't know, you know, where I don't know, especially on grass. I don't know. I don't really see him, you know, winning very comfortably in the first two rounds. So I think this might be a little bit of American bias. No, not really. I mean, I do like Tiafoe on grass. I just think it accentuates its strengths quite a lot. Like the net rushing, and I just think, you know, he's shown good results here at Wimbledon in the past, and I think he's just much more focused, locked in. Like, you know, I think having been to the US Open semis, having won a title now on all three surfaces, I'm just going to back Tiafoe here. I think he can get to the quarters and chase Alcaraz. Oh yeah, and I also just love his slice also on this surface, and bring players forward, and the flat backhand, and those drop volleys, and so, and of course he's beefed up the serve, you know, a lot since the U.S. Open as well, like hitting consistently 130s. And certainly doesn't mind the big matches, but I do wonder sort of in the early stages. Yeah, these first two rounds are a bit scary. But now we go to the Medvedev section. How are you feeling in general just about Medvedev on grass? Because, you know, so far he's been a little underwhelming since Rome overall. But, you know, do you see potentially that turning around at Wimbledon 3 out of 5, you know, with the return position? That kind of worries me a little bit. And he can't play as much defense on this surface as, you know, maybe he can on hard courts, and he'll be just fine and, you know, be pretty tough to beat for most players. But I do wonder if this section, this draw also doesn't look easy at all.
Yeah, I used to think that Medvedev was going to win like a couple of Wimbledons. Right now, it's not looking that likely. But, you know, he also lost the 2020 season. He lost the 2022 Wimbledon, where he would have been like one of the contenders. Perhaps, of course, Djokovic was still going to be too strong. But, you know, he would be up there with some of these guys that we were giving a chance to, at least. But yeah, this is just a nightmare, you know, facing Mannarino again. In general, if you're looking at his grass season, he lost to Mannarino, Bautista Agut, all these guys that he's always struggled against, fellow gladiators, just keeping the ball low, making him play, like making him actually come up with his own pace. It's rough for him. Perhaps Mannarino even more so than Bautista Agut. You know, Mannarino is just in general such a wizard and such a nightmare to play against. Makes you uncomfortable all the time, and you know it's going to be a struggle. You know it's going to be a long match. You know it's not going to be easy for Medvedev. If he comes through it, it doesn't actually get easier. You know, Fucsovics or Griekspor. Griekspor has just won a warm-up event, then also did well in Halle. Obviously a big game on the grass, and Fucsovics with the backhand slice, he also has an excellent set of tools that that can actually disrupt Medvedev. So it's going to be a real struggle, and I think this draw like severely hampers Medvedev's chances at winning Wimbledon this year, at least. Right now, I think, you know, he's still probably the third favorite, but like the gap between him and Alcaraz is pretty huge.
Yes, and you can see that in the odds as well, and I think they got that right.
Yeah.
In terms of the gap between Alcaraz and Medvedev, and you're right. Like, unless, you know, Giron gets to the third round or something, then I could maybe see it being easier for Medvedev, but I don't.
They played at Roland Garros, right, or somewhere very recently, I think.
I think it was Halle.
No, not Roland Garros, because of course Medvedev lost in the opening round. But yeah, they played very recently.
It was pretty comfortable.
Oh, Australian Open as well, I think. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a straight set route.
Yeah, like three games or something like that, right?
But
yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone thought he's looking so good, and then comes Korda. But I certainly could see him struggle a lot against Mannarino. And even though Mannarino might be tired this week, you know, having gone pretty deep, he's actually playing, I think, in the second semifinal right now.
Yeah.
Against Hanfman. But over 3 out of 5, you would think Medvedev would figure it out the same way he kind of figured out Struff in 2021 after losing to him in Halle. That was kind of a tight four set, but yeah, like the matchup itself is really brutal for Medvedev, especially with those pace absorbing ground strokes, and just no one really plays like Mannarino on grass, or on the tour, really in general.
Yeah, just in general.
Just in general, like, but, yeah. but yeah, I mean, what do you think about Tommy Paul's chances? Because I'm actually liking Cerullo quite a bit on the grass as well with the forehand.
Yeah, I mean, why not? He plays Mochizuki, who I think he should be handling. You know, Mochizuki is only really dangerous if you just let him use that feel for the ball, but he can be so easily overpowered. Raonic, we'll see. You know, he withdrew from his last event, right, from Queens. So tough to know where he's going to be. The level that he showed in Hertogenbosch, he could be a threat here. Maybe not necessarily to like win the quarter, but at least to, you know, to beat Tommy Paul, to beat Denis Novak. Like the rest of the section, the bottom part of the section is really not that strong. There's a lot of options for guys like Offner. Maybe actually Offner will be a very dangerous guy again, like at the French. I don't think his draw is as good as it was at the French, where it basically felt like he needs to get to the fourth round. Here, definitely not. But yeah, I think there's definitely a few threats to Tommy Paul. He is up there. But I would assume that if Medvedev is actually able to get through Mannarino and Vujovic or Grigspor, then he's probably going to make the quarters as well. However, if he loses to one of these guys, then we kind of have, you know, pandemonium here, and no one really knows what happens anymore. But yeah, Tommy Paul very easily could be the guy to pick up the pieces if that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Paul is starting to look a little bit better this week. Didn't have a good clay season at all. Hasn't looked great since Miami, but I also think the clay hurts his game a little bit compared to the grass. He can do a little bit. He's similar to Tiafoe in the way that he likes to rush forward, and obviously he's a good athlete and one of the best movers, and he's got the flat backhand as well. The forehand is a little hit or miss, but we'll see how it holds up, I guess, and with this kind of a draw. Any chance for Milos Raonic to do something really big? I have concerns that he had a shoulder issue and wasn't really able to play anymore after the first week.
Possible. Just let's see how he looks. With the form that he showed in Hertogenbosch, he could easily beat Denis Novak and Tommy Paul, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he would be a big favorite to make the quarters or something, but yeah, winning a few rounds just with the form that he showed earlier. But yeah, let's see how he's looking physically. That's the main issue here.
I do also like Lehechka in general on fast, slow bouncing courts.
Uh-huh.
So he might be able to pick up the pieces if Cerullo is feeling a bit of fatigue after this week.
I guess I see Offner as like a pretty sizable favorite against Lehechka. Just, you know, the last few months from Lehechka have been, back to being very up and down and mediocre. Not necessarily the Australia stuff, but yeah, of course, I mean, he's a guy who likes playing in the forecourt right now. Maybe in the past he actually didn't, but right now he does, and I think this really helps him on grass potentially. He has not had a good warm-up, right? But a good warm-up swing, but maybe it doesn't really matter.
You mean the Hechka or Oscar in terms of the warm-up?
Well, I was talking to Lehechka, but like, maybe it wasn't that bad. He lost to Tiafoe and Alcaraz, right? And I mean, yeah, he basically got a couple of pretty tough draws. So maybe it's actually not as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I thought for sure that Struff would beat him in the first round of Roland Garros, but you know, that didn't he lost in five there, but then he didn't really back it up. But yeah, I think
at all, right?
I think this section is actually could be quite open, especially with Medvedev in the first two rounds.
Yeah, if Medvedev loses, and anything can happen, he really so.
Yeah. So if you're predicting, would you still predict Medvedev to get out of this quarter? Or are you feeling a bit bold for?
Probably not, actually. Let's say that maybe, but yeah, then again, who should I pick? Vucevic, Griekspoor, Malarino? Let's say Talon Griekspoor does it. I don't know. Let's do it. Yeah, basically, if Medvedev loses, it could be eight guys or so. So.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, I mean, no, and you're right about the second and third round because those are total bananas against as far as Danilo's concerned. I was debating about going with Serdulo, but after this week, I really don't know. But I don't feel great about Paul, and I feel less confident about Medvedev than I did before the draw came out. So,
for sure.
But I don't. I like the Greensboro pick a lot, especially this recent form.
I'm gonna say it like this. I'm picking the winner of Vucevic Griekspoor. Let's do that.
Yeah, I mean that would be quite big for Vucevic to get to the quarters again.
Yeah,
after 2021. I'll be boring. I'll just go with Medvedev. I'll go with the favorite, although not by much. But yeah, I guess if we look at this Nori Tsitsipas section, I mean this is the one that probably when the draw first came out, this is the one that got the most gasps from people. Just, because of the bottom section with the Murray team and Tsitsipas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can imagine you're probably like, I'm not so interested in that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I really am. Team Tsitsipas, do you really want to watch this on grass? Like, even at their peak, I don't know if I would. I know that they've just played a pretty incredible match in Madrid, but yeah, I just don't think it will be that interesting. Tsitsipas Murray, that could be good because I just think Murray has an excellent chance of winning this. In general, it looks like a section that Tsitsipas will not survive. He had some decent grass results in the past, I know that. But there are definitely a number of issues that he has, of course, with the backhand, especially with the return, with the slice, with the fact that he doesn't have enough time on it. And like it's just really tough for me to imagine him beating Murray, then let's say Shelton or Cressy, either of these guys really, and then probably Korda, I would say. I don't think he's beating all of these guys in a row, especially after the warm-up season that he's had. Because last year at Wimbledon, actually, I think if he beat Kyrgios with the way the draw kind of, with the way the tournament kind of got a lot more open in the bottom half, I think he probably could have had a very deep run at Wimbledon last year. However, I just think 12 months later, it's not exactly the same. And this draw just looks insanely tough for him. So, I think this is a very open section as well. Like the seeds are pretty fragile. So,
yeah, I totally agree about Tsitsipas in general. I think I'd even make Murray the favorite if he gets through the fourth round.
Yeah, me too.
And I think this is actually a great chance for Murray to get to the fourth round for the first time in 6 years. That was one big takeaway that I had. And then because I just feel like if he plays against Cressy and Shelton, I like him in that too. Especially if he's not wasted so much energy in the first couple of rounds. I could see that just being, actually more or less straightforward if he, unless
to John Isner
something like
that, right?
Or I was going to say unless Cressy has like some kind of a serving day like Isner, but I just, at least with Isner, you could see that, maybe there's still some signs. But it's not like he was losing a lot of matches coming in, but with Cressy, I just feel like he has no momentum. But then again, you kind of throw that out the window when it's, when it's Cressy on grass, so you could kind of go either way, but I just... Shelton being seeded, I think it's his first round is winnable maybe against Daniel, but I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be shocked if he went out early as well. But
I mean, Shelton Cressy is like a 50-50, they're just going to serve and you're going to have to see whether, you're going to have to see whether this guy takes the break points or this guy takes the break points. Yeah. But yeah, both of these guys, I think, could be dangerous to Murray. However, I totally see what you mean. Like he is actually... disregard the Isner loss, but he's actually excellent at playing all of these big servers. Yeah. Obviously, like historically, he's had amazing records against them.
That was his first ever loss to one of the, you know, tall third bot.
Like if we're talking about Karlovic, Opelka, and Isner, then probably. I mean, he's lost to guys like Raonic in the past, but you know that's he has a baseline game actually.
Yes.
But yeah, like I like him against all of these big, like all of these big servers, even right now, because I know this is something that probably declined for him a bit after the, you know, all the injuries, the hip resurfacing. But definitely, I don't know, just a very recent example, that the challenger that he won against Rodionov in the final. You know, all week, no one seems to be able to even touch Rodionov's serve. And then in the final, Murray just, you know, it's just so routine for him. And that he does it a lot. So yeah, I would like his chances against guys like Shelton Cressy as well. More so than Tsitsipas's chances, definitely.
Yeah, you know, and I say this all the time. It's funny you brought up last year's Wimbledon, but I think there's two what-ifs for Tsitsipas in his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 2021, that's the 2020 US Open. And okay. That's last
Chorich? Is the Chorich?
The Chorich one.
Six
yeah.
match points, yeah.
Because I felt like, you know, had he got through that match, he could have had a really deep run there. And then same with Wimbledon, just because of the Nadal withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So just, you know, that he was going to play, what, Nakashima in the fourth round and Garin in the quarter.
Nakashima and Garin to get to the set.
To get better. Or Tsitsipas set on grass.
Yeah.
And that. And so.
And he was playing pretty well as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Like that match against Kyrgios was high quality. I just don't think he can sort of repeat this level right now.
I know, yeah. So I mean, we could have been looking at a guy with, you know, having made the final of all four slams already, which is kind of insane when you still think he's got those issues in his game. But
it was still pretty far at the US, I would say.
That's true. But I just think, you know, just the way that draw was looking, and just, you know, how nervous Zverev and team were, and just that he would have had Thompson in the fourth round, and he would have had, you know, it was certainly an opportunity miss. Let's put it that way. And just how shaky Zverev was early in that tournament as well, and almost went out to Chorich, and just how much in general he likes that matchup. So, you know, yeah. And then semifinals would have been Carreño Busta. But yeah, you know, I mean, this is all just what ifs right now. But I guess if we look at the Nori Korda section, because like right away when I saw this, I'm like, you know, if Korda is healthy and if he's in the kind of form he was in January, and honestly, even if he plays like how he does in Queens and the body holds up, this is a very good opportunity to make a semis.
I have to agree, and I will already spoil that this is definitely my quarterfinal pick, Sebastian Korda here.
I have to make my semis, just because like you know,
yeah,
I have a little, you know,
I do too.
The concern is the best in the first round, because that can, you know, that can get very tricky, and then same with Nori in the third round. But in general, I just don't like the way Nori's been playing since the start of the clay court season. I think he's like has two wins against top 50 players or something like that. And since like his confidence is not what it was that season.
It's Rio, yeah. No, I am basically more concerned about Korda against like Vesely or Medvedevich, just because, you know, they're gonna serve like they always do, and it could be tricky. And then I actually think he would be a very big favorite for me against Nori at this point in time. I'm not really sure Nori even gets through Mahaj Eubanks. Yeah, he's just not been convincing at all. And yeah, Korda just looks like a very good pick here for me. I would also have him in the semis. Like, I haven't done any full tournament predictions, but if you know, I remember what happened in the last quarter, and like the fact that I don't think Medvedev is going to make it, or at least think that it's likely that he's not going to make it, then yeah, Korda would be my semi-finalist. And this is maybe just all based on an event, right? Because we haven't really gotten any other signs that, you know, he's back to that January level. But it was something reminiscent of that. And yeah, Sebastian Korda playing like that, he's like a top 10-ish player. So yeah, I totally see it.
Yeah, no, I actually thought, you know, in January, I was like, he's going to be top 10 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, now that's probably not going to
happen. Everyone did. So, everyone did, I think.
Because of the, you know, the wrist injury. But I also just like the matchup in general against Nori, because, you know, this two-handed backhand can really rush that forehand wing, and also just...
And on grass, especially.
Yeah, and the low bounce doesn't bother him at all. And you can, you know, it looks so effortless. And yeah, that's a really good pick. I mean, I have the same, basically, in the semis. I don't really think it's a hot take.
Yeah.
Especially since he was literally a couple points away from the quarters 2 years ago. And he's just so much better than he was then. But yeah, so now we go to the bottom half. And we have Sinner and Fritz. And I guess, we can talk a little bit about this section. But what do you think about Sinner's prospect coming into the grass season? And then you see his draw, because like he hasn't been very convincing since Monte Carlo Sinner, but also he wasn't that convincing in the early part of the grass season last year as well. And then of course he went on a run, two sets of them up on Djokovic, beat Alcaraz in the fourth round. But here I just like his draw quite a lot, and the chances of something like an Altmaier thing happening again looks pretty slim when you look at these names.
Well, there's Altmaier here, yes, in this very section.
But I mean, similar type of...
I get it. Yeah, I mean, his season kind of fell apart, like after Monte Carlo, I guess. Not that it's terrible or anything. It's just not really what it was in the first 4 months when he was looking like a top five player.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just hard to find the potential banana skin here. I don't think it's Juan Manuel Cerundolo. If it was Fran, for sure. Kecmanovic, Schwartzman, not really, not on grass at least.
No.
Vukic, big serve, but I don't think in the long run he can really trouble Sinner. Maybe Quentin Wallis, but I don't like the fact that he played Lyon and Bois instead of the grass this year. Like, I just don't think it's... I know he won one of these events.
Yeah.
He won Blois, I think, and lost in the opening round in Lyon, but I just don't think, you know, in the long run, this is really something he should be doing. I can't understand it either, because he was actually pretty good on the during the grass season last year. Dan Evans, he's kind of had his chances to go deep at Wimbledon many, many times and never actually took it. This is also a pretty weird season for him, with just a couple of good results, but otherwise it's been dire. So yeah, it's a really good draw for Sinner, even if his grass season is kind of weird. He also retired in to Bublik, so we'll see how his health is. That's again pretty important. But yeah, the chances of something like Altmaier happening here kind of slim, and then you kind of have to like his chances to just get to the fourth round. Yeah,
and then of course for Fritz, is that a concerning first round against
Only the first round is concerning, I think. Like, similarly to Sinner, this is a very nice draw for him. I don't think Fritz is actually as strong as he was last year. Going into Wimbledon, definitely not. I also don't think grass is actually that good for him. Kind of counterintuitively, maybe. However, yeah, just looking at this draw, it looks like it could be just very easily be a Sinner-Fritz fourth round, which would be a cracker, and I would love to see it, of course.
Yeah. Their Indian Wells match was very good. Actually, both times they played at Indian Wells.
Oh, yes.
It was a super fun watch, and the ball strike, two of the best ball strikers, just the outlook wings. But I have to agree. I can't really differ much with anything you said, especially because the first round is a tricky one. But and I totally agree about last year as well, because he won eSport and he actually beat some very good players along the way. And he looked very, very good in his first four rounds at Wimbledon last year. And I just don't think he's anywhere near. Really, because similar to Sinner as well, like his clay season, I think we talked about it before, it was a little bit subpar than what we originally had since Monte Carlo. For both these guys, it's not been smooth sailing. But Huffman is certainly a guy I also like a little bit more on clay, but also on grass, it can be quite dangerous too with the big serve, and he likes to come forward. And actually, I like his drop shot quite a lot too on the surface, and he's just mixing things up a lot better. And you know, just super confident right now. But if he gets through that, then yeah, I could easily see Sinner versus Fritz, and I actually would pick Sinner in that match.
I have to see how they play. Yeah, I have to see how they play.
For sure.
Yeah, I have to see how they do until that match. But like right now, if they were to play tomorrow, I would probably pick Sinner as well. But that's kind of weird as well, you know, just because he was injured in his last, you know, the last time we saw him. So, but yeah, very good draws for both, I think.
And yeah, I mean, I saw Gil Gross make this point about neither of them having a backhand slice. And that could be, you know, especially I think that's more damaging for Fritz, particularly on the surface, you know, just because at least Sinner has the sliding open stance backhand, and at least he's a little bit just more comfortable moving and changing directions, whereas Fritz is, this is a lot more awkward, especially if you get it really low, you know, below his strike zone, or you just, you know, even just defending on that wing, it's a lot harder for Fritz just to have that raw baseline power that he would, especially Indian Wells. I love stores. Sometimes a slower hard court is the best for Fritz because he loves to hit it like sort of shoulder height, and that's where he can really crush those plus ones and forehands. But on grass, this just becomes a lot harder, and he's, the contact point is changing a lot. And yeah, I mean, it's
like a similar dilemma for a lot of these players. Hanfman as well is an example where on grass they still have huge weapons. They still have the big serve, but actually their ground games are not quite as good as they would be in slower conditions. But yeah, you know, Chris Eubanks right now reached the final in Mallorca. Of course, I think on grass his ground game is actually pretty poor compared to his hardcore one. But that doesn't really matter sometimes on grass. Sometimes you just, you know, you can finish off the points early, and that's really all you need. Of course, maybe it's not going to get you to a Wimbledon title, but can easily get you to the second week.
Yep. By the way, as we speak, Manarino won the first set in a tie break, and it's, yeah, he's on serve at the second. But yeah, if we go to this final section, the top part of the bottom half, we have Ruud and Čorić, and obviously, you know, we know Ruud has not really been preparing much for the grass right now, and he said yesterday that he's allergic to the grass as well, but he's been playing. You know, he's been playing golf, just enjoying his life. He had a really long clay season and, you know, been basically doing everything but playing tennis on grass. So, but at the same time, I think this could have actually been worse for him, you know, this draw that he's in. You know, I mean, maybe Brody is potentially pretty tricky. Same with Lestienne, that could get funky. But do you see, like, actually Kaspar going, like, you know, fairly deep? Fairly deep is, like, fourth round, but, like...
Fourth round is actually going to be pretty tough, I think. Like, whoever he plays, some of these guys like Shapovalov, Harris, Parver, all of them just play so fast off the bounce. I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on him. I think getting through either of them will, like, require just them to implode, which is, you know, it happens quite a lot, I think, with all of these guys. So maybe he actually has a chance. As you said, Brody Lestienne is going to be a bit of a test. It's not going to be a test in terms of how he's going to play against Shapovalov, Harris, or Barrer, because, you know, the play styles are just so different. But it's just going to be a bit of a test in terms of, like, how much he actually practices and how much he actually, like, even wants it. Because, yeah, clearly motivation-wise, he still isn't in the right headspace for grass. And, you know, he's not a serious threat to go very deep here. But it's not a bad section for him, no. It definitely could have been worse.
Yeah. And I'm very fascinated to see who comes out of the Harris, Barrer, Shapovalov gauntlet.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, Shapovalov just got his first win over Harris in Halle. But then...
Oh, yeah.
But in general, the matchup has not been good for him. And then I also think Barrer is quite dangerous on grass and anything fast-ish.
Anything slick, fast, low bouncing, he's going to be good.
I mean, I remember in Miami where he just totally took apart Nori. Super easily. But, like, yeah, and then you know, Chapeau, you know, I do actually kind of think 3 out of 5 is very good for Chapeau in terms of, because he's so up and down and so erratic.
Yeah.
The 3 out of 5 nature of it actually really helps, where he can just, you know, be hot and cold for one set and off the boil the next and that kind of thing, because actually that's kind of what's saving his season so far. Like, just those two runs basically in the third round of to Australia, third round to Roland Garros. I don't think beyond that, I don't think he's ever even won 2 or 3 matches in a row in any other event. So I would say, you know, maybe I could see something like that happening in Wimbledon, where he just, this is a good section if he gets out of those first two rounds. But I have no clue, honestly, who's coming out of this section. No idea. Like, I could see a million different, I could see like eight players or so coming out, especially even in the top half. Like, you know, you have Wute and you have Safiulin, you know, RBA, like, Chorich, is he really going to do much? Like, I don't, you know, I just have so many questions on this.
I mean, guy like Chorich, you know, at Roland Garros, we also weren't that fond of his chances, but he just sort of took advantage of what he had. And I think he very well could do it here again. This has to be one of the weakest.
Was it Echeverry?
Echeverry, yeah. Like he very easily could do it again here. Like, he just plays Pella, he plays Bonzi or Mayo. That has to be one of the like weakest sessions of the draw.
Yeah.
Bonzi maybe not necessarily in general, but just because he is struggling with his health right now and like barely coming back, right? Hasn't won in a while. Gasquet, two-time Wimbledon semifinalist. I know it was a long while ago, but on grass he actually still looks very decent.
Yeah.
Mute, Gasquet, that's a very like aesthetically pleasing match. Of course, a lot of different spins. And I actually think Bautista Agut is probably going to be the one coming out of this. Just based on how he looks in Halle. Of course, he's a phenomenal grass player. He hasn't really looked like it this year. Like, you know, he just hasn't had a good year. He looks like the decline has set in a little bit. However, yeah, just based on how he looked in Halle, I think I'm pretty confident in his chances here. Yeah, to go deep at Wimbledon again. But, you know, let's see. I don't know, maybe someone like Shapovalov wins his first three rounds and then is unplayable in the fourth. It could happen. And I agree with what you said. Yeah, just dropping one set in a best of five match, it's not the end of the world. So it's actually pretty good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Pella is also a former quarterfinalist in 2019. He's not at that level right now at all.
Yeah. That was one of the wildest runs ever, right?
Who sets the thumb downing in the round edge? Oh my God.
I'm not saying he didn't like deserve it. He actually played St. Tennis.
He played decent.
He never would have done it like 20 years ago, right? But like on the current version of grass, it actually made sense, but you never would have guessed it, predicted it, or whatever.
Yeah. I don't hate the RBA pick. It's just that his major results haven't been great since 2019 Wimbledon. Apart, I mean, actually, he did get to the fourth round of Australia this year and lost to Taiwan to Tommy Paul.
Yeah.
So it's not.
It was not like a confident.
He was two sets to love down against Holt,
right? He was two sets to love down against Holt.
Correct.
Like, it was not exactly a confident run. But at Roland Garros, he was just injured against Shank against Varillas. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't hate that. I mean, I'm just gonna say Shapovalov catches fire a little bit here. I could see it. Like, I just think it's a good section. So
yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he's my pick to get out of this court zone. I don't feel great about it, but you know, why not? And then this section right here, I mean, we have Rublev and Ožej Aliassime. You know, I actually think I have a bit of a hot take. I don't know if it's really a hot take, but I actually think Felix could go on a big run here. Not many people are talking about him. He's not that good at all. I understand he's been basically injured or hurt since that Indian Wells quarterfinal. But I don't know. Like, I have some kind of a feeling that this could be the tournament where he just comes out of the funk, and I don't hate his draw. I think Krajinovic is very winnable. And, you know, I mean, I know I shouldn't go by like exhibition matches or anything like that, but it's just that like he looks healthy. So if he's healthy and it's 3 out of 5, same thing with Dennis, you know, and he loves playing on grass. That's easily his best. It was easily his best surface, especially in 2021. And last year he was just so unfortunate with the whole Cressy thing and the tie breaks. And I think he was poised to make a deep run there. Had he come through the Cressy match. But I know we have Bublik in there as well. And I guess that's another one that I'm fascinated by just because of the, just because of how insanely well he served in Halle. Like, this over-exceeded himself in the serving department, which is not easy to do. And this is a guy who like leads the tour in aces. So it's...
This might be like the most open section of them all, I think.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, if you told me that Luca Van Aert is getting to the quarters, okay, maybe I would be surprised. Sebastian Baez, yes. But if you, I don't know, choose Tomas Barrios Vera to make the quarters, honestly, I wouldn't even be that surprised. Like, this section is just completely wild.
Wouldn't see that happening.
I can actually see it. You know, he has such an aggressive, flat-hitting baseline game. He has qualified for Wimbledon in the past. He has qualified for the Australian Open. He's definitely, like, not your typical clay court specialist. Very good opening, very good chance in the opening round here, right? I don't know. Rublev, Oželjčík, I just don't feel confident about them at all. Rublev on grass is probably not a top 10 player. Like, he's just, you know, he's going to get through some rounds usually, but I'm not going to pick him to go deep, not really. Felix, I mean, what you're saying, I think it's mostly just a hunch, you know? There's no logic behind it. Like,
I know.
You know, the way he's learned...
It really isn't, but it's just, you know...
I know. I mean, he should at some point get around. I remember I was picking him to go very deep in Madrid because it just felt like, you know, the conditions are so good for him. He lost to Lajovic. You know, maybe if he beats Lajovic, he does an Alcaraz in Queens. Maybe something like this can happen here. You know, he plays one tough match and then sort of plays himself into form. As he said, Krajinovic is not a threat right now. Martere, Goyo, big servers, but not really much, you know, not offering that much besides it, I guess, on grass especially. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Bublik, he's probably going to be a popular dark horse contender here. But, you know, if he has to get through McDonald and then, let's say, Wolf to get to the third round, it's not that easy. And especially with Bublik.
I could see him faltering in either match.
Yeah. History of motivational issues. I really have no clue who's going to win this quarter. Yeah, Kyrgios, of course, last year he would have been my pick probably. But, yeah, right now it just seems like he rushed his return a little bit. And, yeah, just have to see how he looks. Maybe Goffin does it again. Was he in the quarters last year? Like, it was forefront quarters, something like that, right?
It was quarters, yeah.
Quarters, like, yeah.
Five-setter against Nori. Then he beat Tiafoe in the fourth round as well. Another match, which, yeah, I mean, Tiafoe had many chances to win. But no, Goffin, I think, two-time quarterfinalist. So,
yeah, 2019 as well. Well, he was up a set, or maybe was tied with Novak once at all. But, yeah. It was
straight sets, but he had...
No, it was straight sets. Oh, really? I probably just remembered that he was really close to winning one then. Mm. But yeah, certainly I would say that he could be among the contenders, just like almost everyone here could be among the contenders.
Yeah. If you said Goffin, now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, I could really see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I could see Goffin. Yeah. And I just don't see Bublik keeping up this motivation and that kind of serving and 3 out of 5 sets. And, you know, also you add the Haller curse on top of it. So I just, and also just like, I, you know, these first two rounds are not easy at all. Like,
yeah, I was definitely confusing something about that Wimbledon match. Yeah, never mind.
but yeah, I think I'm going to go with Felix.
Fair. I don't have the balls to say Barrios Vera. I also don't think it's actually right to do that. I just think it would be pretty funny if he made it. So I'm going to go with Goffin. Let's try it. I'm just going to assume that Kyrgios is still not 100% and Goffin just produces another miracle Wimbledon run where it seems like, you know, he cannot do it anymore and then he does it. Because he, like, in some matches, in some sets this year, he has been pretty excellent. They haven't been that frequent. However, I think, like, his current ranking is kind of harsh on him, actually.
Right. And it usually takes him a few tournaments to get... Like, he usually doesn't look good at all after these comebacks in the first 5 or 6 events that he plays. And then, like, he'll show flashes of it, and then suddenly he'll have that one run where, okay, like, now he's back at the top 50. And usually Wimbledon has been a good spot for that. Because 2019 and then also last year, I mean, it didn't even get any points for it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if Wimbledon had awarded points, he would be very firmly inside the top 100 still, so.
But now we get to this, the huge favorite, Djokovic, of course, to win the 8th Wimbledon title. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better draw, honestly. But I'm not sure that any draw really would have been tricky at this point. So I think it's important to clarify that. But I think, yeah, I mean, this is just, I just don't see any way that he doesn't get to the quarters at all without, maybe even get there without dropping a set.
There's one player here that I think he would have liked to have avoided in this draw, and I think it's Hurkacz.
Yeah, but
I know he has never lost to him. I mean, he has never lost to him. However, they've had a great match at Wimbledon in the past. Even if I think that Hurkacz has not improved basically at all since 2021, he definitely has improved since 2019. Mm. He was still really raw back then. And yeah, I just think it would be a tricky forefront for Novak here. Otherwise, can't really see him losing to anyone. Like Jordan Thompson, he has been so excellent on grass, but I just don't think he has that sort of caliber and the play style as well to hurt Novak. Rusevori, a pretty big game, but nah, I just cannot see it in the best of five match either. Musetti has really improved on grass, it seems. Like his flat serve has been killer, you know, the creativity is really shining, but yeah, I just don't think...
Your match worries me a little bit. Just a tad. Musetti, but I definitely agree with you that...
Ah, for Musetti, yeah, okay.
Because like amongst Musetti and Hurkacz, I would say Hurkacz is trickier.
Oh, definitely. Hurkacz also is like guaranteed to make the third round. Yeah. Like, there's basically no chance he blows it, I think. The serve will just be too good, I think, for either of these guys. You know, Ramos, Vignola, Slajovic, Hoinski, neither of them can really play on grass. And I don't know if he actually gets through Isner or Musetti. That's not that easy, but I think he is probably Novak's toughest test, maybe even until the semis, if they play.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's actually really tough, right? But yeah, I very much echo that sentiment of yours that probably no draw that we could have imagined was going to be tough here. But this one is actually pretty easy for Novak, it seems, yeah. Other than that maybe slightly tricky forefront.
Right. I would actually like to see Nakashima get to the second round, just to face Djokovic once, just because like I think like Nakashima really knows Djokovic's game. Like it won't be a situation where like I don't think like he'll walk into stadium court or something, mm-hmm. and be totally awed by the occasion and be overwhelmed. Like I think he can actually hang. And is he gonna win? No, absolutely not. Is he gonna win a set? Probably not. But I could see, you know, I could see like for example the games being pretty tight. I could see him have a few chances early on. Like I could see. But I, you know, that Thompson match, I would make Thompson the favorite in the first round for sure. But, you know, I don't know. Like, these two have played each other like four times now, and it's, you know, Nakashima.
It's not super easy for Thompson, even though he's had such a great grass season. But I don't know. Just the thing that I really have started, like, it started annoying me about Nakashima the past couple of years is that, I mean, he's just doesn't have that sort of big match red line quality. He kind of always plays the same. And yeah, that's why I just never really like picking him.
But his level was
have any upsets.
First half of last year, for sure. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
I also think he's just... I also don't know if he's figured out the whole injury issues because he still has been wearing kinesio tape and he was out for a long time. I mean, basically any of the chances he would have had to build on his ranking in the first half of this year, I mean, now he has a lot to defend. So I just... Even if he's, I mean, not at Wimbledon, but then, you know, obviously he has the Santiago title and other runs as well. But yeah, I mean, I think this is about as good as it gets, I think, for Djokovic. But yeah, I mean, I think so. I have Djokovic, Felix, I have Djokovic. Like, who are your semifinals and winner? I guess that's...
Let's say Alcaraz. I think in that second quarter, I think I remember saying that Korda was probably likely to get to the semis. So I'm going to say Alcaraz, Korda. I cannot really go for Korda there after seeing Queen's Club. I thought this was going to be a much closer match. Well, much closer match, yeah. I thought that semi-final was going to be much closer when they played, but yeah, I just cannot really go for it. And who are my quarterfinalists in the fifth and sixth section? I cannot remember. I didn't really say if it was going to be Sinner or Fritz, I guess. And then I had Bautista Agut. Okay, so yeah, let's just say that from the fifth or the sixth section, someone wild is going to come out. I don't know who that's going to be, but he's just going to lose to Djokovic, obviously. And then we have the Djokovic-Alcaraz final. I kind of have a feeling that if they actually play at Wimbledon, it's going to be closer than people expect. Yeah. But I cannot go against Novak, obviously.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. I think Alcaraz, what happened at Roland Garros is not going to happen this time around. And I think
he's
much, much better prepared if they play each other. And I actually think in some ways this, it's going to help this in this matchup, even it's going to help on grass. Then at Roland Garros, where, they were also just, tactically you could see like it was just going to be really tough to keep up that level for.
He was kind of struggling to like stay offensive, right? At Roland Garros, like it was just the end of set two that he, like, he really started blasting some forehands. On grass, he can just come out and do that probably.
Yeah, and I think, the serve has improved to enough extent that he doesn't have to worry about, for instance, losing serve a ton. Like, he can just basically play plus one tennis and just very automatic, more natural instincts. In that sense, you can really see the Federer-ness of his game in terms of like the aggressive intent and coming forward. And I think, this is a guy who could win more of a Wimbledon's than Roland Garros is. Would not shock me. It shouldn't shock anyone, really. And also he's just such a good player all around that, that's why it's always such a debate, like which surface is he better on. But I think if he were to play Djokovic here, I can't predict him to win.
Cannot do it. I feel it will be closer than people think, but I cannot do it. Just cannot.
But I think we actually ended up with the same semi. Do you have Sinner in the semis?
I just said it's going to be someone who's going to lose to Djokovic. I don't really think it matters enough. I think it's going to be Sinner? I'm going to say it's going to be someone else. I don't know. Let's keep going. Bautista Agut.
Oh my god, okay.
It just doesn't matter, if you're going to be in the semis. I don't know if it's going to be Sinner, Fritz. Bautista Agut, who else was there? Shapovalov?
I have Shapovalov, Sinner.
It's just a pretty weak quarter in general, and I don't think it really matters that much,
Okay, cool. So I guess we both have Djokovic winning, but I think, we have some... We did a good job, I think, sort of breaking it down section by section, and this was a lot of fun. Can't wait for it all to start on Monday. And thanks, as always, for doing this.
No worries. Just as excited as you are, for sure.
Great. Yep. And with that, you can leave a review on iTunes, Apple. You can connect with us on Twitter. And actually, David, where can we follow you on Twitter for the listeners?
It's just my name, Damian Kust. If you type it into Twitter, you should find it.
Yeah, pretty simple. Okay.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll see you soon. And we'll have a women's preview, obviously, also coming up as well. And I think actually David Gertler from All About Tennis is going to be joining me for that one. So that should be a lot of fun as well. But with that, cheers. And thank you again, Damien.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.